All right, Psalm 91. Surprise, surprise. We're just going to look at a couple. I shared a couple weeks ago, I shared some things that were on my heart about God's plan for longevity, for our years being prolonged. And I just felt like I needed to go down that road a little bit further. So I'm going to share a little bit along those lines again tonight. So Psalm 91, starting with verse 5, and what precipitated this for me was going to the funeral of a guy who used to come to our church a number of years ago, and he recently passed away at the age of 59, which is just, to me, it's just so young, it's just so young. And it was because of Alzheimer's disease, and which is terrible as well, just a horrible thing to think of someone so young being stricken with a disease like that. But, it just made me think a lot again. And I haven't shared along the lines of long life. God said, with long life, I'll satisfy you. And I haven't shared along these lines. I looked up some notes from back the last time, and I think it was like in 2002 or something like that. So it's a long time ago that I actually shared along these lines. And so, some of these things we just need to be stirred up about occasionally. We established the fact that God wants us well. But I think not only is dying sick a serious thing and a very sad thing, but it's very sad when people die prematurely, when they die before they should. Especially when God has said so much about this. And I was thinking about it this afternoon about, how many of us as parents would want our kids to have a life that was cut off prematurely? Absolutely not. You think of your kids, you want the best for them. You want your children to live long, full lives. You want them to experience the very best that life could give them. You want to see them fulfill whatever they were called to do. You want to see them just, carry that through their lives and be happy and fulfilled. And, our God is a father, and he is no different. He wants us. And that's why his promises are like him saying, man, I want you to have a good life. I want you to experience fullness of life. I want you to live a good, long, full life. I want your life to be prosperous, and I want you to be fulfilled in your life. And so it's the heart of a father. And that's why I think the word has so much in it about longevity. So again, Psalm 91, verse 5. This is kind of jumping in the middle here of this psalm. It's only 16 verses, but this particular verse says, "You shall not be afraid of the terror of the night, nor of the arrow and evil plots and slanders of the wicked that fly by day, nor of the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor of the destruction and sudden death that surprise and lay waste at noonday." And then verse 16 says, "With long life I will satisfy you and show you my salvation." Now, a couple weeks ago when I shared about this, when I introduced this topic, I shared that I just felt like the reference in verse 6 to a sudden death coming and surprising at noonday to me spoke of midlife, somebody dying suddenly or being taken, being stolen at midlife, noonday, halfway through their life, premature. Certainly not what God had intended for anyone. And he said we shouldn't be afraid of that. So we know the best antidote for fear is faith, right? So we should know what the word says to us. We should all be well grounded in what the word says to us about living a long, full life, with the promises that God has made to us about living a long, full life. Not that, when my time comes. It's like we think that there's up in heaven, God's got this calendar, and somewhere on there is our name on a date. No. We'll see from the scriptures that it's up to us. It's really up to us. He says here in verse 16, he says, with long life, I'll satisfy him. That word satisfy means to have enough, to be full. When's enough enough? Now, I'm not saying I've had enough. I want to hear I've had enough. Not that kind of enough. I mean, we are satisfied. I've had a good life. I've accomplished what I feel God wants me to accomplish. I've fulfilled the things God's set before me to do. And that doesn't happen in 50 years or 60 years. I could go on and say 70 or 80. We think because we work until we're in our mid-60s that we fulfilled what we were here for. Not. When you look at the patriarchs, they lived well into those very, very senior golden years. And we'll look at Moses here a little bit later, but you know, long life to them wasn't 50, 60, and for some reason the magic number seems to be 70. People think when they hit 70 that, well, it could happen. The Grim Reaper could come calling any time now. That's premature.
Amen.
That is a premature death. Why do I say that? Because God spends all of those years investing in us and giving us wisdom and training and teaching us. When you get to that age, you've got something to say. Amen. And I'm not talking about, oh, my lumbago, you know, or my arthritis is just killing me today, or, you know, my bunions or whatever. I don't know what people complain about. But they do. Amen. Sometimes. And it's not just the old people. Sometimes it's the young ones, too. But he wants us to live a long, full life because I believe as you get older in God and you get older in years, you've got some things that are worth listening to. You know, people didn't throw Brother Hagin away when he reached his mid-80s. Now, he went home, we think, way too soon. He was 86, right, honey?
I think so.
But, you know, people just hung on what he had to say. Nobody thought, oh, he's an old man, we don't need to listen to him. No, there's wisdom in those years. And so going home thinking that it's all done, we're finished when we reach those years is that's a very erroneous thing to be engaging or entertaining thought wise. So he says long life. That's talking about the word there. That word long means a protracted period of time. That means elongated, drawn out. I mean, I don't, unless a person is sick. You know, there's a lot of people that when they reach their 90s, they still want to keep going. My mom was one of those people. She was 98, almost 99 when she died. And, you know, she never complained. She had some arthritis and things like that, but she never complained. She just never complained about her life. She enjoyed living. And isn't that the way it should be? We should enjoy our lives, and we should enjoy our lives well into those late, late years. And we'll look at that a little bit more here as we go on. The contemporary English version there for verse 16 of Psalm 91 says, "You will live a long life and see my saving power."
Amen.
Some of those alternative translations are really good to look at occasionally. A long life and you will see my saving power. You know, we probably all experienced God's saving power in this room at some point in time. Whether it was just the salvation experience you went through when you gave your life to the Lord, but we've probably all experienced a healing or God speaking to us supernaturally and guiding us, giving us guidance or deliverance of some kind from things. We've all experienced that to some degree. And the terminology long life or long days is used quite a bit in the Old Testament. Exodus and Deuteronomy contain numerous references to our days being long upon the earth or upon the land, or our days being prolonged. You just see those throughout those particular passages. I'm just going to read a few of them in Psalm 21. Some of this is review. Psalm 21, verse 4, speaking of David, he said, David speaking of himself, said, "He asked life of you, and you gave it to him, long life forever and evermore." And then Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, says, "My son, forget not my law or teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments, for length of days and years of life worth living, and tranquility inwardly and outwardly, and continuing through old age till death, they shall add to you." So here God's saying that his word will add length of days to us. Not only length of days, but length of days worth living. Now, we're not talking about living long just for the sake of living long, or living long and finishing out your years, your end days in a nursing home where someone else has to take care of you. Now, that happens to people, and we're certainly, you know, not speaking ill of someone who ends up in a nursing home, but that certainly isn't God's plan, because we'll see a scripture here in a little bit that shows us that we should be fruitful in those later years. There should be a fruitfulness there. But again, if we don't know these things, we won't have faith to believe for them. We won't know that we can ask God for a long life, a long, fruitful life. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 15 says, skillful and godly wisdom is more precious than rubies, and nothing you can wish for is to be compared to her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are highways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who lay hold on her, and happy, blessed, fortunate, and to be envied is everyone who holds her fast. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 8 says, prize wisdom highly and exalt her, and she will exalt and promote you. She will bring you to honor when you embrace her. She will give to your head a wreath of gracefulness, a crown of beauty, and glory will she deliver to you. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of your life shall be many. So here, just being open to the teachings of wisdom, and treating and exalting and honoring wisdom, which is God's wisdom, it says it'll add years to our life. You know, God isn't just bossy. He just doesn't tell us things in his scriptures just to be the boss. You know, we hear people say, well, you're not the boss of me. Well, God is the boss of us, you know, but that's not why he tells us these things. That's a father's advice to his children. This is how life will go well for you if you'll live this way. And so it's telling us here that the years of our life, if we hearken or listen to and obey wisdom, that the years of our life would be many. Proverbs chapter 9, verses 10 and 11 says, the reverent and worshipful fear of the Lord is the beginning, the chief and choice part of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight and understanding. For by me, wisdom from God, your days shall be multiplied, and the years of your life shall be increased. So we see this thought repeated again and again and again, that wisdom, hearing from God, listening to God, hearkening to the things of God, obeying the voice of God, that obeying the voice of wisdom is going to add years to our life. So if a person says, well, I want to live a long, full life, so I'm going to really devote myself to this exercise regimen, and I'm going to eat right, and I'm, you know, that's wonderful, because we are a three-part being, and there's part of us is a physical man, and we have to take care of our bodies. Amen? You have to take care of your body. You cannot abuse the one body you have and think that you're going to live a long time. You have to sleep. You have to rest. You know, God said 52 days out of the year you're supposed to rest. You're supposed to let your body rest. How many people rest on one day a week? One person. Two people. We're supposed to rest one day. Let me tell you this, too. Do you know that Israel, I don't think Israel ever observed the Sabbath as far as letting the land rest. There was supposed to be one year that they were, 1 year every seven. Is it? That they were supposed to let the land rest. Well, you know, God is smart enough to know that soil needs to be replenished and renewed. Now, we're at a time in the history of mankind where they're saying within 40 years from now, they're saying our soil will be sterile. Why? Because mankind has never observed the Sabbath rest for the land. So what's it doing? You know, what are they going to do? How are they going to raise crops? Well, somebody said, well, hydroponics. Well, come on. You know, you're going to feed the world with hydroponically grown food? No, if we would just listen to God, he's smart. He knows what he's talking about. And so he wants things to be multiplied and blessed in our lives. Amen? And then Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 19 and 20. And I didn't finish what I was going to say about resting. But your body needs rest. And I'm not just talking about sleeping at night. If you're not sleeping at night and getting a good night's sleep every night, you need to work on that. But there should be a day of rest in there. There should be a time where you and your family have just enjoy doing some things together, maybe go to see a movie or spend some time in prayer together, have some Bible study time. But having it be a day of recreation and rest, your body needs that. It's good for you mentally, psychologically. Pastor and I, since we moved, we enjoy our sun porch a lot. And there's many Sundays we'll just sit out there almost all day long, and we'll just listen to music, and we'll read, and we'll just relax. And it's a nice, long, relaxing day. And, you know, we feel so rejuvenated after a day like that. Why? Because that's part of God's plan for us. Yeah. He wants us to rest. You need rest. Amen? And there's a lot of people that think that there's some sort of honor in being a workaholic. Like, if I could just pack so many hours in a week and get so much done, that just makes me this. No, That's a violation of what God says is right. So Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19, again, review from last week or 2 weeks ago, I call heaven and earth to witness this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing, but therefore choose life that you and your descendants may live. Isn't that interesting? He says you choose life and you and your descendants will benefit from it. It says, and that you may love the Lord your God and obey his voice and cling to him, for he is your life and the length of your days. So he's telling us here, he gives this choice to us. He says, look, I'm setting two doors in front of you. One is door A and the other is door B. And he says, one is life and blessings, the other is death and cursing. And just in case you're not smart enough to know which one to pick, he tells you which one to pick. He says, just in case you're kind of wondering which one you should choose, choose life. Choose life because you and your offspring will live if you choose life. It'll be good for you and it'll be good for your kids. Psalm 68, verse 19 tells us that God's daily loading us with benefits. Daily, he's loading us with benefits. Well, we should know what those benefits are. Why? Because those benefits will make life better for us. It's like the benefits package that you might have at work. Doesn't it make your life better to know that you've got health insurance, dental insurance, some kind of retirement plan? Just the different things that go into a package, a benefits package. Well, eternal life has benefits too. And a lot of it isn't for the other side. It's for here and now. It's for the time we're living in now, because God wants us to enjoy this life, just like we want our families to enjoy their lives. So God loads us daily with benefits. I love what it says. It says he daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation, Selah. That means stop and think about that.
Right.
If you don't think you have anything to be thankful for or to be grateful for, stop and think about the fact that it says he daily loads you with benefits. Daily. You daily. It's like somebody loading up a Visa card for you. Wouldn't that be fun every day? Hey, I just loaded another $100 on your Visa card. Well, God's daily loading us with benefits. Okay, Psalm 103. I love this passage of Scripture. Verse 2 says, bless affectionately and gratefully praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not one or all of his benefits. That means don't be mindless. Don't be oblivious. Don't forget about the things that God has done for you. It says he forgives every one of your iniquities. He heals each one of your diseases. He redeems your life from the pit and from corruption. He beautifies, dignifies, and crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercy. It says this verse. He satisfies your mouth, your necessity, and desire at your personal age and situation with good, so that your youth renewed is like the eagles, strong, overcoming, and soaring. So it says our youth can be renewed daily. Renewed. Our youth can be renewed. You know, we don't have to confess old age over ourselves. Oh, we were with some people recently, and I'm telling you, all I heard was, I'm getting old, I'm getting old. This person is in their late 60s. I'm getting old. It's just old age. I'm thinking, stop saying that. Now, I don't have the relationship with this person that I could tell them to stop saying that. About the only person I would probably say that to would be my husband, because we have that kind of relationship where we can encourage one another. But stop confessing old age over yourself. There's people that do that when they're 50. You don't have to be in your 60s, 70s, or 80s to do that. But it says that he satisfies your mouth with good. In other words, remember, death and life are in the power of your tongue, and you're going to eat whatever you speak. So it tells us here, he satisfies your mouth, I love this, your necessity and desire at your personal age and situation. And it says he does that with good so that your youth renewed is like the eagles. That word renewed literally means to rebuild or to repair. You know, you might have a physical thing going on in your body that needs renewal or repair or rebuilding. Well, you know what? That's what this is telling us. That's a promise of God. And, you know, we always pray in faith over our meals. And I told my husband today when we prayed, I said, we need to add this to our daily mealtime prayer. Thank you, Father, that you are renewing. Our youth is being renewed, and you are strengthening us. You know, you have not because you confess not. Amen. Amen. So we gotta be. Stop talking your age. Stop talking how tired you are and how sick you are and how worn out you are. And stop it. Just stop. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. This kind of couples with what we just saw there in Psalm 103. It says Isaiah 40, verse 31. It says, "But those who wait on the Lord." And that's talking about expecting something from the Lord or looking for something from the Lord, hoping for something in the Lord, shall change and renew their strength and power. They shall lift their wings and mount up close to God as eagles, mount up to the sun. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint or be tired. Now, it doesn't say here unless they're 70, 80, 90, 60, does it? It says anybody who waits on the Lord, who expects this from the Lord, will get this. So this is what we should be expecting. All of it. And you know what I would say to you guys that are younger? Start this now. Start thanking for God that He's renewing your strength like the eagles now. Start doing that now. Don't wait until you need it. Remember, don't wait until the storm starts to get up there and get that hole patched in your roof. Head it off now. Confess long life over yourself now. Amen? Okay, so let's look at one more scripture, and then we'll look a little bit at Moses. Psalm 92, this is a really awesome passage of scripture. Psalm chapter 92, verses 12 through 15. Says, the uncompromisingly righteous shall flourish like a palm tree, be long-lived, stately, upright, useful, and fruitful. They shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon, majestic, stable, durable, and incorruptible. Planted in the house of the Lord, they shall flourish in the courts of our God. Growing in grace, I love this verse. Growing in grace, they shall still bring forth in old age. Shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be full of sap, of spiritual vitality, and rich in the verdure of love, trust, and contentment. Listen to this one. Verse 15, they are living memorials to show that the Lord is upright and faithful to His promises. He is my rock and there is no unrighteousness in Him. Isn't that awesome? It says, growing in grace, they shall still bring forth fruit in old age. In other words, that doesn't mean sitting in a nursing home, twiddling your thumbs and playing, you know, board games and watching TV. That's talking about continuing life. And if you retire from a job, you find something. God, what's my next assignment?
Right.
What is it? What's my next assignment, Lord? What is it? It's not to sit at home and do nothing and be a bump on a pickle, you know. It says, they shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be full of sap. They are living memorials. I love that. Living them. Not, you don't have to die to be a memorial, to have a memorial about you. Be a living memorial to the faithfulness of God. That's what this is saying here. So what's a good example of this? One example of this particular type of thing is the life of Moses. You know, when he received his most important assignment, he was 80 years old. A lot of people today think of somebody when they're 80 as, you know, he's just an old, you know what, you know, he's just an old person. And what good are they for? 80 years old, he received the most important assignment of his life. He wrote the first 5 books of the Bible when he was 80 years old. He did some incredible things. And God invigorated him for service at that age. And you know, that strength never diminished until the day that he died. Never. You think about what he was able to continue to do up until he was 120 years old. It's just amazing. I mean, most people can't even imagine living to 120. Well, of course you don't want to live to 120 if you're sick, if your body parts are falling off, falling apart, wearing out, and they're all having to be replaced and things like that. Nobody wants to live to 120 in that state, right? Oops, there went another part. who wants to live like that? Nobody does. That's not what this is talking about. This is talking about a life worth living. Remember we saw that in Proverbs? A life worth living. So listen to this. So Moses really just got launched into the most important assignment on his life when he was 80, and that's when most people are retiring today. Most people are, well, actually, most people retire 15 years before that. And by the time they hit 80, they're in pretty poor shape. So Deuteronomy chapter 34, starting in verse 1, and Moses went up from the plains of Moab to Mount Nebo, to the top of Pisgah, to the opposite of Jericho, and the Lord showed him all the land from Gilead to Dan. Now this says miles and miles and miles. I tried to figure it out today, but I didn't have a good enough map, but I'm trusting someone here will do that. One of our Old Testament scholars, Bernard. Somebody figure out how far out he was able to see, but this is a 120-year-old man. First of all, they climbed up the mountain. You know, God didn't give him a horseback ride. He climbed up there, and then he was able to see probably, I don't know, 40 or 50 miles out, and God was pointing out all the parts of the promised land, as far out as the Mediterranean. He was able to see that at 120 years old. And then verse 2 says, and all of Naphtali and Ephraim and Manasseh and the land of Judah to the west, which is the Mediterranean Sea, and the south, the Negev and the plain that is the valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees as far as Zoar. And the Lord said to him, this is the land which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, I will give it to your descendants, and I will let it, you see it with your eyes, but you shall not go over there. And we know it's because he disobeyed God. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. So, you know, he climbed up on the mountain. He got to see what he wasn't going to get to experience, and then he just gave up the ghost. It doesn't say that God killed him or took his life. It just says that he died there. So he gave up the ghost. Boy, what a way to go. Amen. And it says, and they buried him in the valley of the land of Moab opposite Beth Peor, but no man knows where his tomb is to this day. Listen to verse 7. Moses was 120 years old when he died, and his eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. What an awesome thing to believe for. Now, you know, again, most of the people in this room thinking about living till you're 120, it does not sound very appealing. Because you're gauging it, if you've experienced anything sickness-wise, you're gauging it on that. Living 120 years like this, no thanks. But what if we could live like that? Yeah. What if we could be in the prime of life still, fulfilling an assignment that God had given us, recognizing an assignment that God had given us, and still being full of natural strength and force? Now, that wouldn't that be awesome? Now, I don't believe that people don't want to live, because people fight like crazy to live. You know, when they get sick, they'll do anything they can to get well. So I believe it's that we do want to live, but do we want to live long for the right reasons? Because God's got something in store for us still. Now, you know, every once in a while I have an opinion, and I try to state when it's my opinion, and this is one of my opinions, but I really believe that sickness and disease and the resulting financial strain that will put on people is going to plague the church in the days to come, because people aren't taking this serious. They're not taking what Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20 through 23, 24 seriously, about keeping the word in front of your eyes constantly. I don't have time for that baloney. We all have time for that. You know, we have time to get to the how many doctor appointments a week? Mm-hmm. Amen? Yeah. We have time to do this. He tells us what to do and how to live a long, full life in Proverbs chapter 4. And I believe that the body of Christ, this is going to reach critical mass soon, because the baby boomers are coming to that age now where, you know, every sickness you can imagine is just coming upon the church. The church is right in there. We're seeing people dying prematurely. It shouldn't be happening. It just shouldn't be happening, because we know what the promises of God are. So unless we start taking our spiritual health seriously, first of all, your spiritual health, because you can't be healthy physically if you're not healthy spiritually. We need to change the church's legacy. We need to change it. We need to be the healthiest people on the face of the earth, not the sickest ones. And in order to have a long life that Psalm 91:16 talks about, then we're going to have to overcome sickness. We're going to have to learn how to walk in divine health. You know, there's a lot of diseases that aren't fatal, but they they shorten the quality of your life.
Yeah.
It's just the quality of your life isn't good. And isn't that what we looked at earlier, that it's life worth living? Not just years added to us, but life worth living. So we want to have a life that's worth living. We don't want to have a life that's the quality of our life being compromised by sickness and disease. And so, you know, again, don't wait until you're facing serious health issues to fix the hole in your roof. You know, and stop talking about being old and getting old. You know, old age is a mindset. It's a mindset. Now, yes, we age, but old age is a mindset. You know, we always tell each other every birthday, we say, it's just a number.
Yep.
It's just a number. My mother, when she was 98, almost 90, it was just a number. She used to say, didn't she say this, I don't feel old. I mean, 98 years old, I don't feel old. Now, some of you got a chance to meet her. Sean, you got to meet her a couple times over the years. She is a sweet old bird.
Yeah.
Oh, she was sweet. She was as sweet as can be. She never, ever complained. She just had a sweet attitude about life. But I don't feel old. You know, oh, I'm so thankful for her. I miss her, too. But old age is a mindset. You don't have to get old in your mind. Amen? You just don't have to get old. John 10:10, I love this passage. Jesus said, the thief comes only in order to steal, to kill, and to destroy, but I came that they might have life, that they might have and enjoy life,
yes,
and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows.
Yes, amen.
So not only have life, but enjoy life. And have it in abundance to the... What happens when something is poured so that it's full and overflowing? Well, somebody else gets to enjoy that, right? Somebody downhill gets to enjoy that a little bit. So if you've got abundant life and you're experiencing that kind of life, it's going to be pouring out of you for the benefit of someone else.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
So it's not sickness and disease and premature death and all of those types of things. Those are not abundant life. So then there's the question, there's confusion in people because they've heard scriptures over the years that talk about what makes it sound like there's this appointed time for us to die. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 says, and as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment. You know, they think, see, I have an appointment with God. There's an appointment. God's got this on the calendar. I don't know when it is yet, but I have an appointment. Well, that's not what that's talking about. That just means that there's waiting for you. There's a time when you are going to go. One time. One time all of us are going to go. Amen?
Yeah.
We're not maybe at the same time, hopefully.
Yeah.
But we're all going to have a day when we're going to go. Now, that day has not been predetermined by God. You cannot allow the devil to predetermine that date. That's up to you. Are you satisfied? If you feel you fulfilled what you're here to do, that you've lived and you can stand before God and expect to hear, well done, well then, you're satisfied, then go ahead. But don't let sickness evict you from your body. Amen? So it's up to you. It's up to you. But it does not, this is not a reference to a specific time. It doesn't say it's appointed unto men a time to die, does it?
No.
It just says once. You're going to die sometime. At some point in time, you're going to die. If Jesus tarries, you're going to die. Okay, here's another one. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. To everything, these are the scriptures people will pull up when they want to argue about long life. To everything, there's a season and a time. To every purpose under heaven. It sounds like the birds, doesn't it, honey? A time to be born and a time to die, see? But listen, the New Living Translation says there's a time for everything, a season for every activity under heaven, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to harvest. So it's talking about seasons. It's talking about seasons, not specific dates or times, but periods of time, seasons of time. And there is a right season for us to die, and that is a longful life. Amen? Because you just can't get away from it. There's scripture after scripture after scripture that promise that. But a lot of people die prematurely before their time because people perish for lack of knowledge. You know, we've confessed that word for so many years, that Hosea people perish for lack of knowledge. I've turned that around and just say, well, thank you, Lord, that then if we have an abundance of knowledge, then our lives are going to flourish.
That's right.
Amen. So that's another reason for us just to feed and feed and feed on the Word of God. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 17 says, be not overmuch wicked, neither be thou foolish. Why should you die before your time? So see, God's even saying, don't die before your time. Proverbs 10:27 says, the fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. So in other words, look, there's certain lifestyles that'll shorten years, but God's saying, look, you should be living a long time. Psalm 55:23 says, bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half their days. Job chapter 5, verse 26, it says, thou shalt come to thy grave in a full age, like a shock of corn cometh in his season. That means to be complete. That full age means to be to complete. You know, in a natural sense, a farmer, they don't pull the corn when it's partially developed.
Yeah.
Right? They wait. And how come people are letting themselves get pulled partially developed? They're not even ready to be pulled yet. They haven't finished their course. It's never God's will for people to die prematurely. Ever. Well, you know, we hear that God picked a rose. God needed them in heaven.
No, he doesn't.
He lived under that for years. So he was told that as a young boy when his dad died. When he was 10 years old, his father died. His father is 45. My daughter's older than that. Wasn't he 45?
Yep.
He was 45 years old. My daughter is older than that. That's wrong. Psalm 116:15 says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Now people say, oh, see, they'll quote this at funerals. It's so precious when one of God's saints comes home. That word precious means costly. Mm-hmm. Who is it costly for? It's costly for God because he just lost one of his members of his army that he wanted to use to get his job done. So it's costly when people die prematurely. So did God set a life expectancy? No, there's nothing in Scripture. People will quote these different passages of Scripture. I'm just going to finish this up, honey, if that's okay. Genesis chapter 6, they'll quote a couple specific passages of Scripture. Genesis 6 is one of them, verse 3. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he is also flesh, and yet his days shall be 120 years. Now, 120 years at that time, that was just prior to the flood, was drastically shorter than the average lifespan at that time. But you know what? It says that man was so wicked and so evil, God would not continue to put up with people living 800 or 900 years in that wicked of a state. So even there, it's telling us we could expect 120 years if we wanted it. If you want it. If you want to live to 120, go for it. Amen?
Insurance guy.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. When we met with our insurance guy last year, a couple years ago, I guess it was, he told us that year that the insurance actuaries, and this was when our little twins were now four, were just little bitty guys. He said that the insurance actuaries were now predicting that the kids that were being born that year would live to 120 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So even mm-hmm. the natural sense, do you know that in the United States, as of 2014, there's over 79,000 people that are over 100 years old.
Yep.
In the United States.
Yeah, it grows every year.
In 2010, it was only 50-some thousand.
Mm-hmm.
So even in a natural sense, people are living longer.
That's right.
But do we want to live longer just to live longer? No, we want to live long. We want to finish strong. We want to be healthy. We want to have our minds intact. We want to be productive and fruitful in our old age.
Yep.
Amen? So, you know, if you're confessing old age at 40 and 50, 60 is only halfway. That's like being a teenager. Amen. I just reached puberty. Psalm 90, verse 10. This is another one. The one in Genesis chapter 6 is okay to stand, but Psalm 90, verse 10. And again, this is taken out of context. I think this is where the 70 and 80-year-old thing comes from. It says, the days of our years are 80 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. So this is where a lot of people get that 70 or 80 year thing from, and it's inappropriately applied, because this is, they're talking about what was going on with the children of Israel while they were in the wilderness. Let me read something to you that this is actually a note in the Amplified Bible. It says, this psalm is credited to Moses, who was interceding with God to remove the curse which made it necessary for every Israelite over 20 years of age when they rebelled against God at Kadesh Barnea to die before reaching the promised land. And that's quoting from Numbers 14. Moses says most of them are dying at 70 years. This number has often been mistaken as a set span of life for all mankind. It was not intended to refer to anyone except those Israelites under the curse during that particular 40 years. 70 years has never been the average span of life for humanity. When Jacob was the father of 12 tribes, he reached 130 years. He complained that he had not attained to the years of his immediate ancestors. Can you imagine 130 and complaining? In fact, Moses himself lived to 120, Aaron 123, Miriam several years older, Joshua 110. While in the millennium, a person dying at 100 will still be considered a child. So what are the fact? What determines this stuff? The condition of our heart. Isn't that what Proverbs chapter 4 says? You watch your heart. Watch what you're putting in your heart. What are you feeding your heart? Because out of your heart flow the issues of life. So if you think you have to die when you're 50, 60, 70 years old, you're going to die when you're 50, 60, or 70 years old. We hear people say it all the time. Well, everybody in my family dies. The men all die at such and such. You know, if that person sets the thermostat in their life for this or from a certain disease, and that's exactly what happens because they expect it. That's what they expect. That's not waiting on the Lord or expecting from the Lord, though, is it? Paul knew. He knew he had a choice. He said, I'm in the street betwixt the two. Should I stay or should I go? Boy, it would be really nice to go because I could be with the Lord, but stay would be more beneficial for you. He knew he had a choice. He knew he did. But we have to decide for ourselves, first of all, am I going to retire or am I going to refire?
Yes.
Amen? Mm-hmm. We know we're not going to retire. We're going to refire. We're going to say, okay, God, what's next? What do you got for me now? What's now? And then we go to him to get the strength and the equipping that we need to be able to do what it is that he has for us. But in order for us to get to that place, we're going to have to learn about the life and the power of God. I'm telling you, my husband could tell you, I spend more time meditating on, feeding on scriptures about the power of God. And every time I hear anything about the power of God in the scriptures, I mark it down. There's another hint. We have to learn how to tap into the power of God. Because that's life. That's where life comes from. And if that wasn't powerful enough to raise Jesus up from, first of all, raise him up out of death and then seat him at the right hand of the Father, it's enough to get us through anything. So we need to learn about it. We need to become experts at the power of God. And I'm not talking about some anointed few people flowing in the power of God. I'm talking about the believer's ministry. Where we know how to command that power, we know how to make it work in our lives, and we know how to make it work for other people.
Amen.
All right, we're going to quit there.